This week we begin the book of Numbers, Sefer Bamidbar. Vayedaba Shema Moshe, God spoke to Moshe, Bamidbar Sinai, in the wilderness of Sinai, Bo'ehel Moed, in the tent of meeting, Be'echod L'chodesh Hasheni, on the first of the second month, Bashonu Hashenis, in the second year, L'tzeisa Meretz Mitzrayim, of the Exodus from Egypt, Lemoy saying, Su'es Rosh Kaladas B'nei Yisrael, count the heads of the entire congregation of the Jewish people, L'mishpachosam, to their families, L'beis Avosam, to their ancestral house, V'mispa Shemois, according to the number of names, Kol Zohar, every male, L'gul Geloisam, to their head. So, this is the first census in the book of Numbers, which is called Book of Numbers because it begins and ends and in the middle, and very often we find this, the census is taken again and again. So first, it's important that God says to Moshe, it's important that we establish where, when, how, and what is happening. So we're given the exact address in time, in space. And then the command to count is called Su'u. Su'u means to raise. So there's implicit in the idea of being counted is that it bestows importance to be counted. Oh, you know, like we say in English, you know, it really counts. If something is important or crucial or decisive or, you know, not open to being ignored, it's because it counts. So God says count them, count the Eden individually, which means to give Nesias Rosh. The Hishbitzer talks again and again how this, the count raises every Jew, that at the moment he's counted, it became clear to everybody why this person counts the most and how the Jewish people would be incomplete without this person. And also that since every Jew is a aspect of the divine face, like a mosaic, that together all the Jewish people together represent the face of God. So if we were to make a mosaic with a picture of the king made of 100,000 small tablets that are, you know, glued to the wall, then, you know, while one piece can't be said to be the crucial piece, nevertheless, if somebody takes away a piece of that portrait, they are defacing the picture of the king. And also, if one tile will be missing from the mosaic, it will be obvious that it is missing. So the count, the census, is a way of lifting us up. Then, after the count is taken, the Eden are given their flags. And so there were 12 tribes and 12 flags. And in the Medrash, it talks about the flags at some length, saying exactly what the color of each flag was and what the totem on each flag. So each flag was a mapo. It was like what we think of as a flag, you know, a piece of material that flaps around. And there was a background color. And on the color, the base color, there was a picture, whether it was of a tree or of a tent or of a snake or a wolf or an ox. Each of the tribes had a visual image that identified the oifi, the characteristic around which that tribe built its spiritual practice. So tonight I want to look at the Torah around these flags, the Degolim. Medrash says that when it came to the Degolim, he came to the flags, and God was telling Moshe where the Jewish people should camp and where each of the campments should be. Moshe demurred a little, and God said, don't worry about it. they even already know, the Jewish people know instinctively where it is to camp. And how do they know? Because when Jacob was dying, he told each of his sons how to carry his funeral bier. So they walked from Egypt to the land of Canaan, back to Hebron, to bury Yaakov in the cave of Machpelah, and his 12 sons around him carried his bier in a particular order, and that was the order in which they were now going to camp around the tabernacle in the desert. So the Haftorah this week that we read, after we've read the Torah, we read the Haftorah from the prophets, and we read from the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea is a very interesting metaphor. It begins, you know, God says to Hosea, go take yourself a whore, a prostitute, and marry her and have children of prostitution. And we've talked in previous classes how basically Hosea said to God, you know, if you don't like the Jewish people, then why don't you divorce them? You know, so God says to him, now I want you to fall in love with a slut and have children with her, and then you'll tell me how easy it is to divorce her, and you'll soon find you won't talk like that. Right? So the whole book of Hosea uses these very earthy metaphors. And chapter 2 begins, the number of the children of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured and counted. And this is the Haftorah of this week. So we can see the connection between the Torah portion and the Haftorah, in that in the beginning God says to Moshe, count the Yidden. And later the prophet says, God says, you know, that they're going to become so many, the Jews will become so many that it'll be impossible to count them. And then the Haftorah ends with verses 21 and 22 of this chapter. Ve'erastich li le'olam, God says, and I will betroth you to me forever. Ve'erastich li, and I will betroth you b'tzedek v'mishpat. Tzedek nominally is translated as righteousness. Mishpat is justice. Chesed v'rachamim, with loving kindness and mercy. Ve'erastich li be'emuna, and I will betroth you with faith. V'yodatus Hashem, and you will know God. That's the end of the Haftorah. So, the Noizdesh, the son of the Ishbitzer, says that there is a connection not only with the beginning of the chapter in Hosea, which talks about, you know, the Bnei Yisrael will be so many that you won't be able to be counted, but the end here, God says, I betroth you b'tzedek b'mishpat v'chesed v'rachamim, that these four elements, these four spiritual practices, correspond to the four camps, and that each of the camps, each of the degalim, each of the flags is associated with one of these. And the betrothal is, as it says in the prophet, Isha Tesoivev Geve, that in the future the woman will surround the man, that something new will be in the land, that the woman surrounds the man, and that this is the ring with which Israel betroths God, so to speak. So we surround God in a ring, in this square ring, and the four components, the four sides, are these four aspects of Tzedek, Mishpat, Chesed, and Rachamim. So I thought first we would look at the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah begins, the Hachoinim Kedmo, and they camp, those who encamp on the south side, I'm sorry, on the east side. Kedmo Mizrocho. Degel Machne Yehuda. This is the flag of the camp of Yehuda. Ha'hud de'oma, Hashem b'chochma yisad oretz, the posuk, the verse in Proverbs that God with wisdom founds the earth. Bara kodesh baruch hu dalet ruchos bo'olam, God created four directions in the world. So the word ruach, direction, we talked about it in Sefer Yetzirah, it really means ruach, spirit. And the word spirit means breath, and the word breath refers to the wind, that there's an east wind, a south wind, a north wind, and a west wind. So there are four winds, four directions in which the flow travels. Mizrach, Ma'ariv, Tzof, and Dor. East, west, north, and south. Mizrach, the east wind, the east direction. Mishom ho'oir yoytzel oilam. That's where light comes out to the world, meaning that's where the sun rises. Ma'ariv, the west, that's where the sun sets. Oitzrois, Shelek, there are treasure houses or treasuries of snow. V'oitzrois, Borod, and treasuries of hail. V'koir, V'choim, and cold and heat. Yoitzin l'oilam. So basically, I guess if you're in Israel, then the winter weather and the summer weather for that matter, the rain, the snow, the hail, the extreme weather comes out of the Mediterranean, comes out of the west. Doroim, south, talalei brocha, from the south, you get the dews, the dew that falls, which brings a blessing with it, and the gishmei brocha, and the rains that come from the south are rains of blessing, yotzin la'oila. So I guess the winter weather, the storms come from the west, but the rains so much needed come out of the south. Sofoin, from the north, misham ha'choshech yotzin la'olam, that's where darkness goes out to the world. K'shem shabara kodesh boch darach ruich les bo'olam, and just as God created these four directions of the world, kach siviv l'kisoi dalet chai, so God surrounds his throne with four the four living creatures. So l'mal mikulam kisei kovod, and his throne stands over them. Connect on siddah kodesh boch ha'degolem l'moshe, and corresponding to those four directions, God sets out the flags, the camps. Omele ha'kodesh boch ha'l'moshe. God says to Moshe, Mizrach, Shememenu Oyoitzel Oilam, the east from which the light comes out to the world. Here, Kenegdo Yehuda, let Yehuda, let the tribe of Judah camp there. Shuhu Bal Melucho, because he's the master of sovereignty. Shenem, as it is written, V'hachoydmim Kedmo Mizrocha Dega Machni Yehuda. Those who are camping in the east, that's Yehuda. So, Melucho, Melech, king, that there's something sovereign about the east and the and light and sunlight and sunrise, and Judah represents that, so let him camp there. V'olav shevet Yisachar, and on him, meaning with him, the tribe of Yisachar, shehu bal Torah, because he is the master of Torah. Shenema b'nei Yisachar yedibini le'itim, the heads of the Sanhedrin were always from the tribe of Yisachar, and they really they were geniuses at calculating the calendar and fixing the Jewish calendar and festivals and so forth. And there was something important, not just important, but authoritative about the Torah of Yisachar. And so he goes along with Yehuda, Va'olav Zevulun, and together with Yehuda and Yisachar, the tribe of Zevulun, Shubal Ashiris, because he's the master of wealth. He was the one, the trader, he sailed out of the coast, the Mediterranean coast, and he became very wealthy. Let them travel first. Shekeinah Torah nikras roish, because the Torah is also called the beginning or the head. Me'olam nisachti me'roish, and the Medrash brings verses to prove that Torah is first. And so, the king always goes first. So therefore, so that's why you find in everything, in every aspect of leading the Jewish people, it's always Judah who leads. When it comes to camping and moving the encampments, then Judah is first. When it comes to, you know, comes to camping, he's the first. When it comes to moving, he's the first. And when it came to making war, oh, when it came to the carbonis, to the dedication of the tabernacle, as we find later in Parshas Nosoi, it's Yehuda Tchila, because the first, on the first day of the dedication of the temple, the prince who offered the, was Nachshon ben Aminodav, from the, who was the prince of the tribe of Judah. When it comes to making war, Yehuda Yale, right? Judah goes out to make war first, as we see in the book of Judges. In Kishiyovai Hamavaser, and when Elijah the prophet comes to tell us of the advent of the Messiah, Yehuda Mizbaser Tchila, then Judah gets the news first, as it's written in the book of Nachum, Al Hehorim Ragle Mavaser, on the mountains come the footsteps of the giver of news, who brings tidings, Mashmiya Sholoim, and he brings tidings of peace. So that's the east. Doroim, south. There, as we said, we have Talalei Brocha, we have the dew of blessing, V'gishmei Brocha, and the rains of blessing. Yikenegdo Shevet Reuven, let it be the tribe of Reuven, Shehu Bal Tshuva, because Reuven is the penitent. He's the Bal Tshuva. He's the first one in the Torah to publicly and privately repent and do penitence for in his sin of moving his father's bed. Utshuva mida toiva, and tshuva is something that triggers mida toiva, verachmav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God's compassion. It triggers an aspect of God that ceases to look at bad. It triggers compassion. And God's compassion begins to pour out onto creation as soon as creation gets into the mode of repentance. So on the right side, meaning on the south, you have the flag of Reuven, the all of God. And then the tribe of God camps together with Reuven, Shehu Bal Gedud, because he's the master of assembly, of regiments, of coming together en masse as a corps. Shenema God Gedud Yigudenu. Reuven B'tshuva, so Reuven comes with repentance, V'God B'Gevura, and God comes with Gevura. What is Gevura? There's a psik to the Reb Kahane that it talks about Omer Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Yamoid kegibor v'yisvada. It talks there about people complaining, you know, people complaining about their lives. And then brings the verse, actually there's a medrash in Eicha Rabba, Ma yis'oinen odam chai geve al chatoev, what should a person lament who is alive? Let him repent on his sins. So the medrash says, you know, people are alive and they complain. What is it? You know, they get, God says, I give them stuff, and what do they do? I mean, beginning with Adam Arishna, I give him a wife, he's lonely, I give him a wife, and what does he do? He complains, this wife that you gave me, look what she's done. And all the time, you know, whatever it is I give people, they're always complaining. Even Moshe and the Yidden, and everybody's complaining. You know what? If you want to complain, the Medrash says, complain about your sins. And you know what? Stand up. So this is Rav Huna says, stand like a warrior. Ya'amoid kegibor v'yisvada. Stand like a warrior and confess. Ve'al yis'oinen, and don't complain. There's a challenge, you know, to be a gibor, to be strong, to accept, to admit what you've done. And that is a characteristic of God. And so he, it's appropriate that he should come along with Reuven, who is the Baal Teshuva. And Shimon Nebuch, Ve'olav Matis Shimon, and Shimon, why? Shimon has to be between the two of them, because they need to take care of Shimon because of his big sin. You know, the sin of Shimon, the tribe of Shimon, 24,000 of the tribe of Shimon died with this story of Zimri that we read about later in the book of Numbers. So on the one side of him he has his big brother Reuven, on the one side he has little brother Gad, and between the two of them they cover for him. Shehatshuvo shnia hi l'toireh. So the Midrash continues that first you have Torah and then you have tshuva, and it's proper that tshuva should come before the Torah. It says v'levovo yovin v'shov, right, that the heart understands and does tshuva. So first there has to be an understanding before a person can repent. Ma'ariv, then comes the West. In the West, as we said, Oitzre is Shelek and Oitzre is Borot. There are the treasure houses of snow and hail, the Kor v'Choymen, cold and heat, Uknegdon, Ephraim, Ubinyomin, Umenashe. So the tribes of Ephraim, Menashe, Binyomin are there. As it says, Umiyamoid lifnei Shelek uBorot, Ephraim, Umenashe, Binyomin. Who can stand up to the cold and the heat and the snow and the hail? If the pasuk in Tehillim, a verse in Psalm number 80, Lifnei Ephraim uBinyamin uMenashe oiriro es gvurasecha. In front of Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin, wake up your power. So you have to be strong to be able to stand up against the power. Ushchina loilam b'marv, and the Shechina is always there in the west. Bigvul Binyamin. The Shechina is always there in the west, where the sun is going down. Right? And it's always there touching on the camp of Binyamin. Shenemar leBinyamin Omar, at the end of his life, when Moshe is blessing the Yidden and V'zois HaBrocha, he says, Yidid Hashem Yishken LeVetach. You know, he's the beloved of God, the favorite of God, who always dwells there. So Degomach Nefraim Nitzivoy Sam Yomo. So you have on the west, you have the camp of the flag of Ephraim. And together with him, Menashe and Binyamin. Why? The Medrash continues, Noel l'toyre l'tshuva gevura. So it's appropriate that you have toyre and tshuva, that you also have gevura. Kedei sheyizgabe odem b'toyre v'yizgabe al yitzrei. So if you've got toyre and you've got tshuva, now you need power to empower yourself. Tzofoin in the north, misham achoshech yotze lo'olam. From the north, that's where the darkness goes out to the world. Ukinegdon Shevet Don. And corresponding to them, the tribe of Don. Why? Lama? Shehi hechshich ha'olam ba'avodas alilim. The tribe of Don was the first one to darken the world with pagan idol worship. She'osa Yerobam shnei eglei zav. Jeroboam, the king of Israel, who broke away from Rehavam, the son of Shlomo, and the Jewish people were split into the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. He made two golden calves, and one of them was set up in Dan. And paganism is darkness, as it is written, and it is in the darkness of their deeds. V'chaza Yerovam al kol Yisrael. Jeroboam the king went round all the Jews. V'lo kiblu mimeno. Nobody wanted this golden calf. They said, "What? We're Jews." Elo shevet Don. The only tribe that said, yeah, we'll take it, is the tribe of Don. Shinema v'yoyitz ha-melech v'yaz shnei egle ezov v'se'echud nosem v'don. The king took advice and he made these two golden calves, and one of them he set up in Don. V'kach tziv ha-kodesh baruch hu, and so God commands she'yachne Don b'tzofen, that the tribe of Don should then camp in the north. De'gamachne Don tzofoyne v'olav, and camping with him, Shevet Osher is the tribe of Osher. Me'e ala choshech, who tribe of Osher is the tribe Osher Shmeino Lachmoy. It's his land is full of olive trees, and olive trees bring oil, and oil brings light. So let Osher bring light to the darkness of Dan. And finally, together with Don and Osher, we have the tribe of Naphtali, Shumole Birchas Kidei Lefanes. Because the tribe of Naphtali is full of blessing. As it is written, Naphtali Svar Rotzei. Naphtali has the satisfaction of desire. So the Medrash goes on, but we'll stop there. Let's have a look what the Rebbe says. First he says, what is the greatness of these encampments that you know, there's such a, God has these camps around the throne of glory, and he has on earth these camps around the Mishkan, around the tabernacle. So he brings the verse from the Haftorah, Ve'erastich, and I will betroth you to me, says God, B'tzedek of a mishpat, B'chesed of rachmin. So it is these, God says that these four aspects, these four characteristics, this is how we are betrothed to God and how God is betrothed to us. And we surround God, so to speak, with these four characteristics. So he goes back to the Medrash and he says like this. Melucho, Yehuda is the Melech, Yehuda is the king. He has this aspect of sovereignty. This corresponds to Chesed. Why? The first person to really give thanks is Leah. When she has her fourth child, she said to herself, Yaakov has four wives, he's going to have 12 children, each of us is going to have three. So the first one, she says, you know, God saw my oppression. The second one, she said, God heard my prayers. And the third one, she said, oh, this time my husband will accompany me. In each of the three children that she had, she felt she had some input. Now, there was some aspect of deserving. When it came to the fourth child, she realized this is not something that she had earned or achieved, or had some input. It was a gift. She says, "Hapam oida, this time I will say hoidu Lashem ki toiv. This is just the goodness of God that I've received." That recognition that what we're getting is the goodness of God, that is Malchus. It's really important to understand that this is the meaning of Malchus. To realize that what you're being given is not a reward. It's a gift. Because the essence of Malchus is leis lemigar meklum. The opposite of how we think of sovereignty and royalty and kingship and so forth, that somehow it has to do with power. The real meaning of the king is that it is powerless. And in chess you get the full flavor of the meaning of Malchus. Powerless. The subject of every attack, and also the beginning and the end of the game. So, what is Malchus, right? The game is Shach, right? It's the Sheikh, it's the king. And yet, the king is not really, it doesn't really have power. It's a metaphor. And the metaphor comes about through Leah, who realizes that Hapam Oida, this time I realize it's pure gift. Ah, so as soon as she realizes it's a pure gift, then comes the beginning of Malchus into the world. So David HaMelech is also the one who says, you know, Kraft Heviasaniad Haloim, you've brought me this far, you know, and he sees, David HaMelech can see clearer than anybody that there's nothing that he has done to deserve. And so that is the deeper meaning of Malchus. So then you have together with him Yisachar. Yisachar is the Baal Torah, meaning you can't see, you're incapable of seeing how much of your life is a gift unless you have Torah inside you. Another way of saying it is, do you know what your Torah is? What is the Torah that is uniquely your Torah? The fact that you realize that what you are receiving and what you are living in, that your life is a gift, an undeserved, completely free, unearned present. And that's why it's called the present moment. Chazdei Hashem. The Torah that you have is that realization. That's all. How that expresses itself, that is your creativity. So your malchus, your sovereignty, your specialness, the fact that the whole world revolves around you is in what aspect? It's in that very aspect in which you realize that you are a gift. For all of Zevulun Shu Bal Ashirus, and together with him, with Yehuda and Yisachar, is Zevulun, who is the master of wealth. What is master of wealth? Ezehu Oshir Hasameach Bechelkoy. Somebody who rejoices, who has simcha in what he has. You can't have joy in what you have unless you realize that what you have is a gift. If you think it's earned, you already want more. I deserve. If you think you deserve, you'll never be satisfied. If you know it's a gift, it never occurs to you to say, I want more. Why only this? Why aren't I got a bigger gift? If you truly realize that your gift is divine and you're in your Torah, then you're in your Malchus and you're also in your Ashiras, you're also in your wealth. So that aspect, and this the Degolem, these encampments, this is not for 3,500 years ago, this is for everybody right now. There's an aspect of me that has to be Yehudi Yisachar Zvulun together. The next is the Machne of Reuven, who is in the south, which corresponds to Rachamim. As the Medrash says, that tshuva, repentance, triggers Rachamim. Bizchus shehu bal tshuva. Because Reuven is a bal tshuva, so the Gishmei Brocha, the blessings, the Gishmei Brocha, the rains of blessing come. So the blessing that comes to the world really comes as a result of the tshuva, as a result of the repentance that opens up the gates of blessing. And together with him comes the tribe of God, and Shimon in the middle, lechapir olav, to cover for him. So the problem with the tshuva, the problem with being a bal tshuva and being constantly aware of one's sins, however I want to interpret the meaning of the word sin, but whatever it is, it's very oppressive to the person, to the individual. It's crushing. And it's a person who's doing teshuva can fall into sadness and to depression. So he has to have with him, as much as I know that I've done wrong, I have to have that aspect of God, the Gedud Yigudenu, that can rally, that can stand up and pull itself together, not to fall. And like we said from that medrash, from the Psikta, Rav Huna says, Ya'amid ki gibba v'yizvada, stand up like a warrior, and confess, just say, yeah, I did it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't demand of us that our penitence make us sad. Doesn't really demand an emotion that goes with it, other than make a vidui, make a confession. And all the gates of rachamim and compassion will open up. Then the emotions that come will follow. But that's the first thing, is the vidui. And together with the vidui, because the truth is Reuven never sinned. He's the first person to actually do tshuva for a sin that never happened, that he never did. He did tshuva, you know, posach b'tshuva tchila, Hoshea. Hoshea, who's descended from Reuven, he's the haftarah that we read on Shabbos Shuva, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, because Reuven is the first one to do tshuva, but Reuven does tshuva for a sin that he never really did. What was the sin? The Torah says he slept with his father's concubine. He never did. He moved his father's bed from the concubine's, you know, tent to his mother's tent. So part of doing teshuva is pulling yourself together to understand that you never actually did it, whatever the it is. And together with him, you have Shimon. Shimon Osa Lahara, as we talked about in Sefer Yetzirah. Let's not even go there. So then you have on the west, Dego Mach Nefraim corresponds to Mishpat, justice. But Mishpat also means the sentence. And what it refers to is there in the west, as the Medrash says, you have the Oitzreis Sheleg, you have the treasuries of snow and cold and heat. What does it mean? That's Yiras Oinish. That's Yiras Shemaim. When we talk about fear of heaven, and fear, we're talking about the West. We're talking about the tribe of Yosef. Yosef said, "Es Elokim ani yorei, I fear God." And that's the meaning of Mishpat. V'heimu giboirim lehizgaba al yitzrim. What is the gevura of the West, of the tribe of Binyamin, that flag, the Dega Machne Ephraim, it is not to sin. And that's that aspect of us which says no. It's really important to be afraid, to fear God, to fear sin, to fear punishment, not to be reckless, and to always be aware of the storm. Not to wander left or right, to follow God. That is that aspect. So every person has to have inside themselves Yiras Shemaim, awareness of the fear of heaven, fear of sin. And then the Rebbe talks about Degel Machnedon. He asks this question, if the whole Medrash, the whole basis of saw es roish, to count, to raise, to show that you count, and the whole thing is gedula, it's greatness. It's all about greatness. Yeah, God says, look, I have four living creatures around my throne. I have these four camps. So why are you bad-mouthing Don? Why are you bringing in this whole reason why Don is in the north? Because the north is darkness, and Don brings darkness. He brings paganism, and he worships these idols, and he's the only tribe to accept the golden calf, this pagan symbol that Jeroboam sends out, and he can't even find a home for it until he comes to. Why is he saying this? That if your thesis is that the whole building up of these camps and the flags and then counting and everything is in order to ennoble the Jewish people, to raise their spirits, to empower, encourage. No, so what are you doing? Beating the tribe of Dan. See, it says this is the fourth aspect. This is tzedek. The meaning of tzedek is that it doesn't have room for negotiation. There's no vasronus. There's no overlooking stuff. It is to the inch. Tzedek, hin tzedek, right? The Torah says weights and measures. There's no room. There's no room for vasronus. There's no room. Well, you know, it's approximate. No, there's no shtukazach. Approximately the weights. An inch is an inch. A foot is a foot, a teva. If you're selling me a yard of cloth, that's it. It better be a yard of cloth. Nishta, there's a little bit frayed. No, there's no vasronis. When it comes to measurement, it has to be exact. It has to be a hin tzedek, a foot tzedek. It has to be a measure that is right. So the word tzedek has that element of there's no negotiating. It's not flexible. It has to be exact. Otherwise, it's a crime. It's not just a misdemeanor, right? It's a felony. If you sell somebody something that's 12 inches long, it better be 12 inches long. So Dan is associated with that side of our relationship with God that doesn't admit for any flexible. There's no room for maneuver. So the Rebbe says, if that's... what is the Medrash saying then? So the reason that I wanted to learn this Medrash was just because of this. He's saying there's one aspect of us that has to be Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somit. What does it mean that I have God Lenegdi? Lenegdi doesn't mean that I'm facing God all the time, but that I'm a Nagid. I'm in opposition. I have to see that part of myself all the time which is in opposition to God. I have to be aware of it. I can't overlook it. I have to be in fear of it. I have to be aware of in which ways I am not following God. I'm walking the other direction. Because Yehuda is that aspect of us which sees the chesed of God, which sees the loving kindness of God all the time. Yehuda is that part of me which sees my life as a gift, and the present moment as a present. Reuven is that part of me that admits that I've done wrong, and that is a part and a parcel of the rachamim, the brocha, the blessing. It's an interaction. I'm admitting what I've done and who I am, and God is admitting what He has done and who He is. And this is the flow of blessing into the world. Yosef sees the power, the might, the force, the overwhelmingness of God. And in the face of this overwhelmingness is reduced to gibbering nothingness. Dan is aware of himself and how in how many ways he is just, in a sense, positioned leneged, in opposition. And so, Don can't see anything right about himself. So Don needs to have with him Osher, who enlightens Don, is constantly pouring light into the darkness that Don is constantly pouring onto the world. And finally, you get to Naftali, who Sva Rotzoin, we were saying the Torah of Pesach is as Yudecho Masbir L'chol Chai Rotzin. You know, what is Don so afraid of? Don is so afraid of his own desires. Because Don is the one who can see inside his own desires how much is snagged us, how much opposition and rebellion there is to God, to the divine in the self. How much the desires just want to break out and be into self, self, self. And Naftali is the only one who can explain and make clear to the self how desirable our desires and how the satisfaction of life really only comes from desire, and that the greater our desire, the greater our satisfaction, and that is masbiya l'chol chai rotzon. It is in the desire that the satisfaction of life exists, and we have to have all these four surrounding ourselves in order to be a whole person, to be able to camp around the divine and to have the Shekhinah inside.